fours and fives, and then six and sevens. And we've had some older children that are going back, and we would love for them to be able to do that. We've also had some teenagers going back that aren't scheduled to be helpers. And so we need your help, parents, to make sure that they've been asked to be a helper and not inundate the classrooms with four or five teenagers who the teacher then does not know what to do with them. And we would like to increase the classes. We'd like to separate the age groups, but we can't do it without more teachers. And we are running maxed out right now. I just need to be very honest with you. We are running maxed out with the teachers that we have. And there's several teachers that have been doing it for years. And they could use a break. And so I would like to ask those of you who are regulars, Island Alliance Church, and especially if you have children, we would love for you to step up and be willing to serve in the Children's Church ministry. It is not a difficult thing. There is some preparation, but we have all the resources there for you. And if you would like to do that, I would love for you to speak to me. And we would like to expand the classes even a little bit higher in age, but we can't. And so, folks, I need your help on the one end with the age breakdowns. We also could use help with the teaching. So if you would do that and let me know, I'd appreciate it so very much. Amen? And you still love me? I love you. Amen. Last thing, two last things. Actually, on the back desk are some updated phone directories. It's not the picture directory yet. We're still working on that. And by the way, if we don't have your mugshot, we need it. If you're a regular part of Island Alliance Church and you'd like to be in the picture directory, we need that. So let us know. But also, there's some phone copies back there if you could use one of those. Before we read our scripture, we want to take a moment to have special prayer. Jeremy Denny is leaving Tuesday to go to Fort Benning, Georgia, to do pre-ranger training. He wants to go back and continue to support the military and our freedoms. And so we thought it would be appropriate for us to take a moment and pray for Jeremy. That's going to be some severe, difficult training, and he's going to need all the support and help that he can. Would you pray with me? Father, we come together, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and lift up Jeremy. We thank you for this young man who has served his country and is now planning to go back into training to continue to serve his country. And we thank you for his willingness. We ask that you will strengthen him physically and mentally and emotionally in every way as he goes to this pre-ranger training. Keep him safe, Lord, and continue to draw him close to yourself. Lord, we lift again all those from this congregation that are serving in the military here in the United States and throughout the world, that you would protect and keep them, Lord. And we thank you for all the men and women that serve to protect our country and our freedoms. We owe them a great attitude, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. We're going to be reading the scripture from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. If you'd like to turn there in your Bible, we'll also have it on the screen as we read it in unison together. Let's stand as we read it in unison. Let's begin. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how high and wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to his holy word. You may be seated. The If you haven't already, I invite you to turn in your Bibles, and also in the bulletin on the back side of that announcement, the green sheet, is an outline that will go along with the message, if you find that helpful. We're looking at this passage in Ephesians. As over these past few weeks, we have been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the power that God has for us through the indwelling Spirit. I was led this week to this beautiful prayer that Paul prayed for each one of us almost 2,000 years ago. And this prayer has a very specific purpose for us, and really relates to, as we were singing a few minutes ago, that Jesus, we believe you are everything. You have all that we need, more than enough for me. And that is the case, what He has provided for us through the power of His indwelling Holy Spirit. Would you take a moment and pray with me as we seek the Lord going into His Word? Father, we come to Your Word, Lord God, and Lord, in our hearts we bow in the authority and submission to the Word, the truth. We ask that the Holy Spirit will take the Word and apply it to our hearts, Lord. Teach us. Open our hearts to You. I pray especially, Lord, for all those that are here today struggling and need to experience the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit in a new measure. Oh Lord, that You would give us ears to hear and hearts to obey You. In Your precious name of Jesus, amen. Herbert Jackson was a missionary a century ago, and he was sent to a foreign country. And in this foreign country, Herbert was assigned a car. And the problem with this car is that although the car ran, it would not start without having a push start, without jumping the car. How many of you had vehicles like that? I can remember. My first little old Pinto. The starter went out. And we had to push it down the hill and jump start it to get it going. Well, Herbert Jackson, this missionary, had this car that he could use, but it would not start without being jump-started, without being pushed. So whenever that he had to go visiting somewhere, he would get several school children from the mission school there to come out and help him push the car and get it going fast enough that he could jump-start it. And this would happen time and time again. And then as he went around visiting, he would either park the car on an incline so that he could let it go and jump-start it that way, or he would just leave it running. If he was in a flat spot and he knew he just couldn't get people to help him, he would just leave it running. Well, this went on for 2 years. 2 years. Well, it came time for him to leave and go home on furlough, as many missionaries do. And the missionary that was arriving to replace him arrived and began to speak to him about the arrangements there. And Herbert began to talk to him, his new replacement, about this arrangement and this plan for starting the car. And before he could even finish talking about this arrangement for pushing and jump-starting the car, this new missionary had the sense to open the hood. And he said, Dr. Jackson, he said, I see the problem right now. He said, there's a loose cable on the battery. He said, there's a bad connection. And so he tightened up that cable, and he jumped in the car and turned the key, and boom, the car started right up. For 2 years, Herbert Jackson had gone through this arrangement when all along the power had been there. The power had been there, and it was a bad connection that had kept Dr. Jackson from putting that power to work and starting the car. This morning I want to ask you, how's your connection with Jesus Christ? How is your connection with Jesus Christ, in whom is all the power that we need for this life that we live? How is your connection? Do you have a good connection with Christ, so you're experiencing His power, and you are appropriating it, putting it to work in your life? Or do you have a loose connection? Many of us have a screw loose. There's a loose connection. Now I'm talking about this spiritually. I know some of you are saying, well, Pastor, you have a screw loose, all right. But I'm talking about the spiritual reality here. Do we have a good connection with Christ or a loose connection, a bad connection? You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is available to us as we read this beautiful prayer from Paul. But it comes and is available through our connection with Jesus Christ. The main point of this passage and this beautiful prayer is that Paul prays for us to have power through the Spirit, that would be strengthened in our inner being and be able to know the depths of Christ's transforming love for us. He wants us to know the transforming love of Christ as a reality. Not just as an idea, not just as something we read in the Bible. He wants us to know Christ's love as a reality in such a way that it transforms our lives. This is not, even though I use this illustration about the missionary, this is not something that is only available for missionaries or something that is only available for preachers or teachers or evangelists. No. He prays for the Ephesians Christians and he says, together with all the saints, that we would know the love of Christ and have the power to comprehend and grasp that love, to be strengthened in our inner being, to be transformed in our lives by this incredible love of Christ for us and in us, so that we can be overcomers. We can be effective in our service for Christ, be effective in our lives to follow Him and live a life that is worthy of our Savior. But we must keep a good connection. Let's talk about it for a few minutes. As we break this down, number one, we see Paul prays that we would have power to be strengthened for Christ to dwell completely in our hearts. Look with me again at verse 14. He says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. And then he says, verse 16, I pray that out of His glorious riches, the Father's glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Whereas in verses 1 through 13 of chapter 3, it focused on God, our sovereign Lord, who has raised up Christ as the head of the church, as we celebrated at Easter just a few weeks ago. Christ who died and then was raised again to life, and now has become the head of the church, which is His body. His body is made up of you and me, and every one of us that have come to know Christ as our Savior and our Lord. But then following in verse 14, he focuses on God as our loving Father, the one who has provided power through us through the indwelling Christ by the Holy Spirit. And he says he wants us and prays for us to have power so that we can be strengthened in our inner being so that Christ can dwell in our hearts completely. What does this mean? What does it mean for Christ to dwell in us completely? Well, what he's talking about here is an issue of surrender. You and I have to have power even to surrender in our lives. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit in us even to surrender. In other words, to allow Christ to dwell completely in our inner being, our whole life, every aspect, every part. And we must have that connection continually in order for that to happen. Notice that he goes on and he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and deep and high is the love of Christ. You have to have power in your life to surrender to Christ and to know His love. You see, because this is not merely an intellectual exercise. It is first and foremost a spiritual revelation and a spiritual reality. That's why, and if a person comes to the Bible and they just kind of flip it open and they start reading it, they could really be led astray. I remember the one person that he was looking for direction, he was looking for inspiration in his life, and so he flipped open the Bible and it came to the Gospels, and he read in a place where it says, and Judas went out and he hung himself. He said, oh, that's not a very good scripture. So he flipped over and he read another one. Oh, here's red letters, Jesus' words. And it says, go and do likewise. And he said, Man, I'm not reading the Bible anymore. See, if you can just flip open the Bible and think it's some kind of a spiritual, or excuse me, some kind of a mental exercise and some kind of a magical thing where you're going to get, you know, magical answers. That's not the way it works. Now, God in His graciousness can lead you in the Scriptures if you will persevere. If you will begin to read the Word, not as some kind of a novel, not as something to just be flippant about and just catch a verse here and a catch a verse over there, but no, if you will read His Word and meditate upon it. Now, when it says that we would have power for Christ to dwell completely in our lives, this is not an initial entrance that He's talking about here. No, He is talking about those who have come to Christ and have invited Christ into their lives, but now He says that Christ wants to dwell in you completely, totally. Well, how does that happen? Well, it's like taking up a residence in a large house and dwelling in it completely. I remember when we moved up to Armonk, New York, for me to go to seminary. We had contacted a church up there, and without ever seeing the church or the facility or the apartment, Brenda and I took positions with the church. Brenda took a position as the church secretary, and there was a salary for that, which we much needed. And they asked me to take the job as basically was janitor. And in return for doing the work as a janitor, there was a two-bedroom apartment in the church facility that we would have. That would be part of my payment. And that was really good because the apartments up in that area are few and far between, and they're very expensive as well. And a few of them that we saw were real roach pits, you know, and we really weren't too excited about paying $800 for, you know, a basement apartment that was a roach pit, really. So when this opportunity came, we said, great. Well, we were told that the apartment was going to have new carpet put in it before we got there. And it was going to get painted. And so when we got there, everything would be wonderful. We could move right in and we could basically dwell completely in the whole house. Well, we arrived with our big U-Haul truck, towing one Pinto behind it and driving another one. We had his and her Pintos. Fond memories. And we pulled up to the house, or to the attached apartment, and we get out, and one of the trustees greets us, and he said, "Oh, you know, by the way, I'm sorry, but the carpet guys were not able to get it scheduled and get it done, so they don't have the carpet ready." We're like, "Oh, great." He said, "But they're going to be here in just a few days." It's like, this is great. You know, so what we had to end up doing is we had to leave a lot of our stuff in the U-Haul truck, and we could only pull out like the bare essentials because the carpet guys were going to come. I mean, they're pulling up all the old carpet, and then even worse, what happens? The carpet guys did arrive in a couple of days, and you know, we were just living out of some boxes, and we had just the mattress down, and there were some rooms we just closed them off. We said we're not even going to go in there because there's no point in setting anything up in there. So the carpet guys get there, and we together pull up all the carpet, and there's this glued down rubber pad. And the guy says, "Well, you know, we can't just put the new carpet down on top of this. All that padding has to come up." And it is like glued completely down to the flooring. And we had already cut all the carpet up and dragged it out, and it was all outside in the dumpster. And he said, we can't do this today. So we had to drag portions of that carpet back out and lay it down and put some of our furniture down on top of those pieces of carpet. And, of course, we lived in, like, this little aisle of carpeting that went to, like, the bedroom and into the kitchen. We had to live that way for a week, because they couldn't get back to do the work, and we tried to do some of it. It was a lot of labor, and I started seminary. It was like, this is great. This is wonderful. We could not live completely in that apartment. It was not ready. It was not available to us because of that carpeting. In the same way, the Lord has come into our lives by His Holy Spirit, and He wants to live, completely dwell in every one of us. And yet, there are areas that he can't dwell in because we have not yet given him the right to dwell in those areas. We have not opened the door to those rooms that have all the carpet torn up and it's full of junk, full of things that we don't want the Lord to see and we certainly don't want him to mess with. Oh Lord, you can have my life, but don't mess with the stuff that's in this room over here. I'm going to hold on to that for now, Lord. You can live in all these other areas, but don't mess around in this room, Lord. I'm not ready for that. See, the issue is that we are not a house. We are willful humans. And Christ can only dwell in us completely as we surrender, as we yield every area of our lives to Him. You see, there is an initial yes to Christ in our lives, but then there is an ongoing, daily yes, surrendering our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, which is a lordship issue. And He wants every area, and so that He can transform it. And so, that's how He works. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit even to surrender in this. If you're like me, you get to that place where God is dealing with you. He's speaking to you about a particular area in your life, and if you're like me, we don't want to give in. We don't want to give over control. We don't want to surrender that area. And see, we think that God, through Christ, He can't run my life. You see, if I give this area over to Him, He's going to do something terrible to me. We don't trust Him. We don't want to yield it because we think, Lord, I can do a better job than You can in my life. Isn't that what we're saying? You know, I'm not going to give You this area, Lord. I'm not ready to give up this area because I can do better than You can. Isn't that what we're saying? Now think about that with me for just a minute. You and I can do better controlling our lives, taking care of our lives, than Christ can. That's what we're saying. And He wants us to have power to surrender every area of our lives so that Christ can dwell completely in us. That's what it means for Christ to dwell in me. The only way that this can happen is that we keep that ongoing connection with Christ every day. And as He speaks to us, we say, yes, Lord. Because there is power. There is power for us to appropriate, to take hold of, and say, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. I can't control this area. Lord, I'm stuck here. And He has power for you and me to overcome, even in that area. Live out this life in a new way. We talk a lot about that, don't we? To live out a new life in Christ. But how do we do it? How do we actually do it? You must lay it down. You must surrender it to Christ. If you think of your life as a house, He wants access to every room, to every closet, to every pantry. Oh, but Pastor, I can't give Him my life. I can't open that door. That room is such a mess. It's all the garbage that's been in my life for 20 years. Well, you think the Lord doesn't know about that anyway? You think the Lord is surprised? He already knows all about it. And He's not there to condemn you. No, He is there to give you power to overcome. He wants to deal with that trash. He wants to deal with that garbage that we've gotten hidden in those closets. What area in your life is Christ calling you surrender? We all know this feeling we get. Oh, Lord, I really want for You to dwell complete in my life. And all of a sudden, it pops up, that area that we're holding back, doesn't it? Am I the only one that feels that way? Or I get an amen out of that? There are areas that we hold on to. We cling to it. And it hinders us from Christ dwelling. And I'm telling you this morning, Christ wants to give you power through His indwelling Spirit to lay that down. So many times we lay things down and then we take them right back up again. We lay them down and we take them right back up again. We say, Lord, I'm committing this to You. I'm not going to do this anymore. Or I'm not going to go there anymore. Or I'm not going to be with this person anymore. And then what do? We go right back to it again. That's not surrendering. That's not laying it down before the Lord. I lay it down and I'm done with it. I'm yielded, Lord. You can do better in my life than I can. Excuse me. What is God calling you to surrender in your life to Him so that He can dwell in your life completely through the indwelling Holy Spirit? Or maybe you're here this morning and you need to come to Christ initially, because we're talking to those who've already come to Christ and know Him and have His Spirit in their lives. So there was a wealthy man who came to Jesus and he asked Jesus, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, "You know the commands." He says, "Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false testimony, honor your father and mother." And this man kind of welled up with some pride at this point. He said, "All these things I have done since I was a youth." And then Jesus looked at him and he says, "One thing you lack." He says, "Go, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." And it says at that point that this man went away very sad because he had great wealth. You see, he was not willing to lay down what Christ called him to. You see, for him, the issue was not only did he have had great wealth, but his great wealth had him. And he wasn't willing to lay it down. What is it that the Lord is speaking to you about that you need to lay down in your life? What area is it that Christ is not dwelling in completely because you will not lay it down? What is He calling to you to lay down, to surrender? As we look at this process of the Holy Spirit coming and helping us to surrender, helping us to give more and more and more of our lives to Him, we want to read together from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, which talks about this process, how this process takes place in our lives. So Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and Mike Windsor is going to read that for us.
"And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory."
Can you go back to verse 13, Les? "You were included in Christ when you heard the gospel. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a promised seal, the Holy Spirit." When you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit of Christ comes and lives in you. Now, if you've not come to Christ, if you have not embraced Him as your Lord and your Savior, then you do not yet have the Holy Spirit. But for every believer, every person who has come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and to be our counselor, to be our helper, to be our paraclete, which is the one who comes alongside of us, the one who puts His arm around us and leads us on. He does so much in our lives, and there is this area that He wants to enable us to surrender in. And then we read a little bit further on, Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 21. Ryan Allen's going to read that for us.
"I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come."
Go back two verses for me, Les, thank you. That power that is working within us is the same power that has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. "Oh, Pastor, I just can't overcome this issue in my life." In other words, you're telling me that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that is at work within you, cannot help you to overcome this issue in your life. Is that what you're saying? I don't think it's an issue of the lack of power or the lack of the potential of the power of Christ. No, I think it's an issue of surrendering my life so that Christ can overcome for me. That's the true issue. Oh, I want more power in my life. I want more power in my life. The only way that power comes is through a broken, surrendered life. We must humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God so that He may lift us up. Now, I want to move to number two quickly. Paul then prays for us to be able to have power to know, experience the depth of love, Christ's love for us, so that we may be filled to overflowing. It works hand in hand. You see, when we think of this issue of surrender, it many times has sort of this negative connotation to it. Well, I don't want to give up my rights. I don't want to give up my life. You know? But you see, when you understand the love that Christ has for you, when you understand even a little bit and grasp Christ's love for you, it's a love that surpasses knowledge, right? So how can we know it? If it surpasses knowledge, how can we know it? That's why we need power. Power to grasp it. First, intellectually, to comprehend that it is indeed a true love. But not only that, to experience it, to know it as a reality. That's what this word means. To know it as a reality in our lives. To experience His love in a real way. And you see, when you understand how much Christ loves you, and that Christ only wants the best for you, He really only wants the very best for you in your life, then it's easier to lay my life down and allow Him to have control. I remember as a young person, you know, became age 19, 20, I'd gone off to college, and, you know, I wanted to meet someone. I wanted to meet a godly young lady that I could get to know, and I was seeking a partner for life. And, you know, I thought I could do a better job than God. And I worked hard at it. All the smooth moves. All the slick words. You all laugh because you did the same thing. You know, and as I was surrendering my life more and more to God, you know, I'm thankful that He kept me from making the wrong choice. And you know, I didn't know what the best choice for my life is, but you know, I surrendered even that area of my life, and that's when the Lord led me to my wife, Brenda. And He could not have picked a better helpmate for me. If you know me and you know my wife, Brenda, you can say amen. I surrendered that area of my life because I knew in my heart Christ could take care of it, could handle it better. And Jesus, the great lover of our souls, wants you and me and you and every one of us, He says, together with all the saints, to know this love in its fullness, to know it in such a way that we become more and more confident in Him. We trust Him more and more, and so we're willing to lay down our lives. But again, it's an issue of power, an issue of the Holy Spirit. And what happens as we do that? We're filled to overflowing. All the fullness of the measure of Christ comes flowing into our lives more and more and more. Christ died and arose so that you and I could be filled to overflowing with His power and His love through the Holy Spirit. We end with Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. Trevor Ewing is going to read that for us.
I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so, somehow, to attain the resurrection from the dead.
Thank you. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Well, you can't know the power of His resurrection until you die. You can't know the power of His resurrection until you die to your own life. And you can't fellowship in the sharing of His sufferings if you're not willing to suffer. If you're not willing to be inconvenienced, if you're not willing to say, God, I don't like this, it feels hard with my flesh, but I lay my life down, every area of it. Whatever the Lord is speaking to you about today, what is He calling you to? What is He speaking to you about? What area of your life do you need to lay down to Him so that He can fill you with power in all the fullness of His love and His grace? Maybe you're here this morning and you need to take the first step. You need to surrender your life initially to Jesus Christ. You need to embrace Him as your Lord and your Savior. In just a moment, I want to give you an opportunity, an invitation to do that, because we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper around the table. We're going to celebrate and remember what Christ did for us in His death and resurrection. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, then this won't make any sense to you. You'll look at it as just a ritual that you're going through, but it's so much more than that. It is a remembrance and entering into the atonement that Jesus Christ gave to you and to me. And so if you're here today and you don't know Christ, you've not surrendered your life to Him as Lord and Savior, and you need to have His forgiveness of your sins, then we want to invite you to do that. And then come to the table as one of His children. So I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we prepare ourselves to come to the table, and Lord, You are speaking to each one of us, and Lord, there are those of us that are here that You are speaking to about these areas of our life that You want us to surrender. You want to have full access to our lives so that You can empower us in those areas. I pray that You will enable them, every person, to lay down their lives fully to You. And then, Lord, there are those here today that You are drawing them. You are tugging on their heart right now. And You want them to give their life to Jesus Christ, to know His love and forgiveness as their Lord and Savior. Do Your work, Holy Spirit. Convict and draw them to Jesus. We want to give you an invitation. If you've never received Christ as your Savior and Lord, we're going to pray a prayer all together. And if you'll pray this out of your heart and you'll invite Christ into your life, then He'll come in. He will. And He'll begin a miracle in your life. So I'm going to invite the whole congregation to pray, and you pray this out of your heart. Let's pray together. Repeat these words after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for knowing me. And thank You for loving me. Thank You for sending Jesus for me. I receive You, Lord Jesus. I believe that You are the Son of God. You died and You rose again to forgive my sins, give me new life, and the gift of Your Spirit. Come into my life. Forgive me, cleanse me, and make me new. And I will follow You all of my days. In Your name, amen. And then as we're preparing, just for a few quiet moments, preparing our